America Weekend.
Roland, as we move off into...
Yes, Carl.
Yes. As we move off into the madness of the next presidential debates and the presidential election, which will consume us very shortly.
What do you mean? What it well, will consume us?
Has already begun. We're already in the deep end of this. As we say, kakaraka.
We are in, or the other word could be, we are in the kimchi of presidential politics for the next couple of years.
And very deep. However, the question is being put out there, and it's been asked by a number of people, relevance to the Iran nuclear situation, reference the Cuban situation, which we've just discussed. If you were president, what would you do? Now, the question is posed this way. On a broad range of topics, what would you do? And we've heard from some of the Republican candidates with reference to the Iran situation, let's go bomb them. And the president is saying, gentlemen, rightly or wrongly, whether you agree with his decision or not, tell me what you would do if this is not going to work. What is your solution to the problem? What is your solution to other problems that face the United States, our debt service, and so on and so on and so forth?
So as I understand it, what you're suggesting is that all moderators in whatever debates come in the future should ask that question. About what would you do to the specific problems that face America today?
If you were president, exactly. If you were president of the United States, what would you do? Let's not talk in generalities. Be specific.
Mm-hmm.
You got 10 minutes. 10 minutes, by the way, is a lot of time to be specific. And if they can be, what would you do? I thought about this in reference to Iran, Cuba, our ongoing debt service crisis. The debt that we owe in this country, which is $18 trillion.
You've got immigration.
Immigration.
Any number of issues.
Someone, if you're going to be sitting in that office, you must understand the complications that affect that office. I remember reading Eleanor Roosevelt. I have mentioned this before. Eleanor Roosevelt was just an extraordinary woman, in my opinion. I had the pleasure of meeting her in my youth. She understood, of course, she was in the White House for 12 years with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
She understood the politics and the statesmanship needed to be president of the United States. She got it. She got it and understood it in a thinking person's terms, because you have to think about it. You just can't go flying off like George W. Bush did, and we're going to go get into Iraq for purely strange reasons that came out from all of our military analysts and so on, why we have to take on Iraq at this particular point in time, and wound up in Afghanistan, and 11 years later, and what has it gotten us? Not a heck of a lot, okay?
Well, you just set your politics into public arena.
Yes, yes. And if you were, let me ask the question to you. If you were the president of the United States, what would you do? Just give us a topic, give us a broad range here.
About what?
Pick a topic.
The first thing I would do, I would announce to all the governments of the world that the United States of America would no longer embrace an imperialistic philosophy.
Okay.
I would say to them, if you've got an issue and a problem in your country, it's your problem, your issue. No longer will we get involved. No longer will we support you in terms of payments and bonuses. And no longer would we sell a single weapon to anybody, anywhere.
Well, now that's going to get some people hopping and popping. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you asked me what I would do.
No, absolutely. The military-industrial complex gets involved and so on and so forth. But that statement, just as you've made it, if we could hear it from any one of the candidates currently on both sides, Democrat or Republican— Hillary Clinton was asked the question. I thought it was classic Hillary. She was asked the question in the audience at one of those little town confabs that she has. What would she do about the Canadian pipeline? What would she do about that?
I heard that.
Isn't that amazing?
I could not believe it.
I couldn't believe
it. Tell the folks what the answer was.
The answer was, when I become president, you can ask me that question and I'll answer it for you.
Yeah. Come on, that to me is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's a blatant sidestepping.
blatant. And she doesn't care about it because obviously the to be fair, the extension of that was, I'm not going to supersede the thoughts of President Obama and Secretary Kerry in their decision since they haven't made one. So here's my answer,
well,
which is no answer.
There's some validity in that.
There is, and I grant you that. But she could have again. Is it the answer or is it how you couch the answer?
Did she say the explanation that you just gave before she gave the answer?
She gave the explanation first, then she gave the answer.
Well,
again, thank you.
You set me up.
I know. No, I didn't. No, because...
Yes, you did.
You were going to be as upset as I am about that answer. I don't care what it superseded.
No, but she couldn't logically or politically answer that because of her president in her party.
Okay, and that's is what she did not say. I wanted her to say, politically, I cannot answer that question.
Well, okay? That would be fine. Yeah.
And explain why. Here's the reason why.
All right.
Can't answer that question. And not just toss the guy off. When I become president, you can ask me that question.
Okay. Now I'm going to reverse it for you.
Please.
You're now president.
Yes.
What would you do about anything?
About the pipeline?
Anything.
Canceled. Canceled. It's coming from very, very, a very, very corrosive oil product.
What are you going to do about immigration, Mr. President?
We're going to allow the program, develop a program that allows these people at some point down the road in the process of their becoming citizens of the United States. But we're also going to do this. We're going to affect our borders by taking better care of the immigration policy, not just for Mexicans and South Americans, but for Europeans, for Russians. We're going to get a more concise policy on how we let people into this country. We don't have one. There seems to be a rule. Well, they're Europeans over here, we have one set of rules, and they're Mexicans over here, and we have another set of rules.
Or Latinos.
They have quotas for various countries. Let's get a policy for immigration into the United States. We don't want to close our borders. I think that's ridiculous. Building a wall is ridiculous.
What are you going to do about arms sales, Mr. President?
We're going to cut back arms sales. What we're not going to do, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to cut back in the areas that I see as politically sensitive, particularly as an example in the European theater. Because that's a very, very sensitive theater. And I do believe that our European partners, including the Ukrainians and others, have a need for advanced weaponry against the Russians. Because the Russians are playing a very shrewd political game. Very shrewd. They are on top of what's happening in Europe. And they're using the spigot of gas and oil to pretty much control the Germans, the French in particular, and others as to what they want. So we've got to couch that. As far as third world countries, elimination of all sales completely. Absolutely elimination of all third world. End it right now. But here's the problem. When we end it, what will the French do? What will the Germans do? The Israelis are some of the largest suppliers of weapons in the world. What do we do with our key partner in the Middle East? What do we tell them? Don't do it anymore? What leverage?
Well, what are you going to tell them
as president? I'm going to tell them, don't do it anymore.
Thank you very much.
Okay? Because, and that's, of course, but it's a broad issue.
Wait a minute, I got other issues here.
Go.
Space exploration, Mr. President.
Continue it and never stop. Because the answer is up there, not down here.
Okay, women's rights.
Equal rights, pay, and understanding the women's needs as they have children, as they become the brunt of the taking care of their family, have to be considered.
Medicare and Medicaid.
Has to be cut back. Not eliminated, but cut back. And be made affordable. For the newer generation, less of that, not more.
I don't think I'm going to vote for you.
Oh, he's not voting for me, Kevin. What happened here?
I
was on my soapbox here.
I know. You were. You know, that's how the word soapbox came. The people who were running for office would take a soapbox.
Stand in the park.
Stand up so that people could see them in the back.
That's correct.
And that's how you got on your soapbox.
I was on my soapbox. But that Medicaid, Medicare question is a very good one because it also affects Social Security.
You're trying to... you're trying to back off.
No, it has
to be. Yes, you're a typical politician.
It has to be cut back. We cannot afford it, unfortunately. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we do that?
And
that,
yeah, that, but tell that to the 18 million that get... Medicare
but for those coming
now.
On the road, coming on the rolls, we can affect a program that backs off of that.
Do we need social medicine in the United States like Canada has?
To a degree.
You do?
Yes, we do.
Whoa.
We have to make it affordable. We do, because they're always going to be, in the size of the population we have, which is over 300 million, there's going to be 10% of that population that requires medical help. It's the basis
always.
Of our,
I mean,
that's, exactly. It's the basis of our capitalist system. There's going to be those that win and those that lose, and those that are in the lower middle class. They're going to need help. How did I do? Well, do I have your vote, sir?
No, first of all, I'm not voting for you. and I changed my vote. But I'm willing to debate you on some of the issues that which I disagree.
Okay. And we will have that debate, ladies and gentlemen, after this commercial announcement.
No, not now.
Thank you, Ron, for that. I've always wanted to do that, though. If you were president, what would we do? Well, we're on Smith Sabatino.
Oh,
yes.
No. It can be the other way around. I want to go to funerals and things of that nature.
We're back.
Say goodbye.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.